Freddy, or How the Rhinoceros Got His Horn. Long ago in Africa, a little to the east, lived a rhinoceros, a fearsome, angry beast. Short-sighted, large and heavy, Freddy had no horn. It wasn't that he lost it, that's how he was born. For all rhinoceroses used to be like that, without a horn or humor, cranky, gruff, and fat. Now the other animals lived in packs and herds, prides if they were lions, or flocks if they were birds. Freddy, though, was different. He lived all by himself.
"That's the way I like it. Just me and no one else."
Freddy used to spend his days hiding in the grass and charging anyone who happened to walk past. Zebras on migration, the leopard on the prowl, the chattering chimpanzee, and preening guinea fowl were all fair game to Freddy. Favorites he had none. He just enjoyed sending them back to Kingdom Come. With broken bones and trampled tails and dislocated backs, no one had escaped Freddy's furious attacks. It all came to a head, as things so often do, when you least expect it, like rain in Timbuktu. For months the blazing sun had eaten up the sky, bled the juices from the earth, sucked the rivers dry. The air was thick and dull as if it had been cursed, and every living thing was crying out with thirst. It seemed to them that fate was out of their control, their one last hope was the fabled watering hole.
"It's east, northeast, northeast,"
sniffed the jostling warthogs.
"No, it's west, 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 west,"
yipped the prairie dogs.
"Will someone make their mind up?"
said the nervous deer, which were doing all they could not to show their fear of the leopards, lions, and panting cheetahs.
"And please do it quickly before those cats eat us."
"I see it,"
shrieked the vulture.
"It's down in the south."
"Then what are we waiting for?"
cried every dry mouth. Caring not for safety, for comfort, or for food, they went alone, in herds, mothers and their broods. They scampered, they scrambled, they surged and they scurried. They hightailed and hastened, hot-footed and hurried. But they'd come too far now to make a mistake. So they screeched to a halt by that life-saving lake.
Boom, 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 boom,
rose the bubbles of the hippos in the deep, while the sun-baked crocodiles smiled in their sleep. Would it be safe to drink? Was it safe to go in? Everybody wanted to, but who would begin? Still, water, precious water, was what they desired. Just to drink their fill until, so bloated and tired, they would sprawl on the bank, their bellies distended, restoring their strength to what nature intended. So with ears pricked up and a few furtive glances, dispensing with caution and seizing their chances, they lowered their heads to the brown, murky pool. And extending their tongues, they did lap and drool as fast as they could and for all they were worth. It was paradise, Eden, heaven on earth. When suddenly there came a terrible shaking. The trees bent and trembled. The earth began quaking.
"It's Freddy!"
someone shouted.
"Get out while you can!"
Their thirst was forgotten as everybody ran. Water churned, mud flew, dust clouds filled the air as panic and terror spread their cloak everywhere. A leopard lost his spots, a zebra his stripes. That's how we got horses and other such types. Face down fell the ostrich as though he were dead, hoping 2 tons of rhino wouldn't step on his head. A crocodile innocently opened its jaws and swallowed two deer, a tail and some paws, when Freddy burst through and with casual abandon broke Flamingo's one good leg that he had to stand on. It lasted a minute, perhaps two, maybe three. But some buffalo kept running right into the sea. A call was sent out to the forests and mountains, the rivers, savannas, the gullies and fountains, to all beasts and birds, regardless of their shape or size. From the slow-witted ostrich to the owl so wise. Freddy has to be stopped. He's driving us nuts. So come to the meeting. No ifs, ands, or buts. They asked Freddy from a distance to also be there. So he came and he stood with his nose in the air as one after another his crimes were related. The screeching and grunting were quickly translated. After answers were given to all of the questions, the floor was thrown open for ideas and suggestions. They scratched, and they pawed, and some chewed the cud, but every plan that was offered was frankly a dud. There was not a thing, it seemed, that anyone could do, when from high in a tree came a loud, "Ooh, ooh, ooh!" "Where a bell?" said the chimp, swinging down from one arm. "Then we'd hear you coming like cows on a farm."
"A bell round my neck,"
Freddy said with a sigh.
"Which of you will put it on? I'd like to see you try."
Not a word was spoken. No one raised a voice. Options mean little if kingdom come is a choice.
"But a horn," said the jackal, "at the tip of your nose. The size and color could be whatever you chose. It would give you such style, make you look debonair, regal, majestic, like lion in his lair."
"Look at this,"
squawked the ostrich.
"Isn't it neat? It's a horn and it's hollow. It was by Jackal's feet."
"My goodness," said the jackal. "Well, what do you know? And all you have to do is breathe deep and blow. Freddy, I see you playing as we promenade, or courting a rhino with a sweet serenade."
What he meant by this, but was reluctant to say, was that now they would hear him from miles away. Freddy looked at the deer with their horns so fine, some as straight as a spear, others curled like a vine. As a boy, he had longed for a horn of his own, had imagined himself like a king on his throne. And a horn he could play? Now, that was fantastic. But, not wishing to appear too enthusiastic, he browsed for a moment and sniffed at the ground.
"I'll give it a try," he growled, "to see how it sounds."
Not a second was wasted lest he change his mind. Jackal stuck on that horn with some mud glue and twine.
"How do I look?"
Freddy puffed as he strutted about.
"Like a fool,"
squawked the ostrich,
"with a horn on his snout."
They all laughed so hard at the jackal's sly trick that the chimp had to leave because he came over sick.
"Laugh,"
Freddy bellowed.
"Enjoy your little jest. But he who laughs the last is he who laughs the best."
The animals left quickly. They'd achieved their dream, leaving Freddy alone to plot, plan, and scheme.
"That jackal,"
he snorted,
"he thinks he's so clever. I'll make some music he'll remember forever."
The days were a nightmare, the nights a disaster, as Freddy played longer and louder and faster, till there wasn't an ear that was not raw or tender,
or a soul who wanted to shout, "I surrender!"
For there was a question which they had forgotten. Was Freddy at all musical? No, he was rotten. Out of time, not in tune, and way, way, way off key.
"We have made a grand faux pas,"
the owl said solemnly. Another meeting was urgently called on the plane.
"Oh, Freddy," they begged, "won't you join us again?"
"Listen up,"
Freddy said, striding into the middle.
"If I blow my horn hard, it sounds just like a fiddle."
The noise was so bad, the leaves fell off the trees.
"All my milk," the doe whispered, "has curdled to cheese."
The hair of each creature stood up on its neck, even ants which had none the last time they checked.
"Wow!"
squawked the ostrich when his ears had stopped ringing.
"I'll be deaf and dumb if he ever starts singing."
"Freddy," said the jackal, "I've noticed you itch. It's those ticks on your back. So why don't we switch your horn for this bird that eats ticks for dinner? It'll bring you relief and make you look thinner."
"But my horn,"
Freddy said.
"Don't you think it's me? Makes me look regal, gives me majesty. Weren't those your words on this very spot? My playing, I'll admit, is not yet real hot, but practice makes perfect, and I'm a go-getter."
"But can't you," interrupted Al, "practice when you're better? Whatever you desire that's in our power to give, just promise not to play as long as you shall live."
Freddy frowned. Inside, he felt like cheering. He knew he had to quit or else he'd lose his hearing.
"Musicians," he said, "do their best each and every day to bring a little joy to those who cannot play. It is a lonesome quest. Applause is often rare. Even for the very best, the pay's not always there. But I listen, and I learn, and though inside I'm torn, I'll give up my playing, but I won't give up my horn."
Hip, hooray for Freddy!
Shouted out the crowd.
"He's the kind of rhino that makes a rhino proud."
"Let's feast!"
roared the lions. The deer preferred to dance, so they and the zebras began to buck and prance. Then the leopards and the cheetahs, not to be outdone, chased the wildebeest around, 'cause that was always fun. When suddenly there came that familiar rumbling that had always been the start of a painful tumbling. But this time was different. Now something had changed. The reason for it was never really explained. But instead of charging, Freddy dipped, and he swayed. He swaggered and sauntered. He even sashayed. Then he took a breath and blew his horn at the moon. A most beautiful, soulful, and passionate tune. When he finished, there followed a long, drawn-out pause, which gave way to cheering and deafening applause.
"When it comes to sly ones," Jackal said, "you get my vote. And here we were thinking you couldn't play a note. Come, sit down beside me. We have much to discuss."
"Forget it,"
Freddy grunted.
"It's all too much fuss."
And before they could stop him, he was gone through the trees, leaving them gasping in awe on their knees.
"I've never regretted being blind,"
squeaked the bat.
but I wish I could say that I had seen that.
As water will over time smooth the roughest stone, and kindness can soften the ache of being all alone, Freddy, too, has mellowed. He's become quite meek. If trouble starts, as oft as not, he'll turn the other cheek. As for that old horn of his, it's still right up there. Some folks think it's priceless, but it's like nails or hair. Freddy loves it anyway, and though it makes no sound, it reminds him of when he was the toughest guy around. But should you annoy him, be you animal or man, be sure he'll come a-charging.
Just because I can.